Let's pray. Loving Father, as we meet with you now in your word, the Bible, and as Philip comes to preach for us, please would we hear and receive all that you have to say to us, and would we not leave here this morning unchanged by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting from verse 21.
For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord.
The verse that I'd like to speak on is in the reading there, which is in verse 23, and the very short phrase, but we preach Christ crucified. And I want to speak on the topic of the silence of the cross and link that, of course, to our Remembrance Sunday. I was really interested to read an account of a German soldier on the front line in 1918 at 10:30 in the morning. And as you'll know, at 11 o'clock, it had been agreed that the fighting would stop. But at 10:30, a German soldier wrote how, like rain, he described it, the artillery gradually started dying down in their sector. And then it stopped. And they all prepared themselves for a British attack, because that's often what would happen. And they weren't quite sure if the end had come or not. But they could still hear artillery down at the other end in another sector. And then at about 10:45, it stopped. And he described it as being a great silence. And it's hard for us to imagine what that would have been like. But if I just say this, that they reckon that 1 billion artillery shells were fired over the course of those 4 years. The constant noise and explosions around them, suddenly over the 400 miles of the front, there was just silence. Must have been staggering. And the way he described it was a great silence. And the German, even though you might say, well, they're on the losing side, were nonetheless hugely relieved. And as we have our 2 minute silence at church on Remembrance Sunday, I suppose what we're doing is for a moment we're thinking about what we came from war to peace. But then we're also remembering those millions who died on our behalf in those wars. And just in the First World War alone, it's hard to put the figure, but you hear figures of around 10 million people having died there. And so it's my honour as a serving soldier to be here on Remembrance Sunday, Armistice Day, when we remember that silence that came on to speak to you this morning. But actually, what I'd like to speak on this morning is of one of those millions of deaths that there have been, but of that of Christ that's spoken of here in the passage, Christ crucified. And the reason why I would like to speak on that is three things that I'd like to draw out. Why his death is of singular importance. And actually, as we remember the deaths of those millions as well, more important is a remembrance of this man's one death. And I'll just run through three brief reasons of why I think that is. And the first is his identity. His identity. This simple phrase that we have here in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. My own regiment was involved in the battles in 1919 18 and on our arms. We wear a medal ribbon now. Normally medal ribbons are worn on your front, but we wear this medal ribbon on our arms. And the reason is that in May 1918, and bear in mind that's just 6 months before it's all to end, the 2nd Devons, the regiment which now is part of mine, were holding a hill, and the Germans broke through with something like 31 divisions attacking through that line. And the Devons, who were in reserve, ended up being at a critical point. And they had to stand and fight. They actually stood and died. And from the regiment, which would have been around 700-800, there was less than 50 survivors and around 5 commanders who came out alive from that conflict. It was an act of great gallantry. And they tried to decide, who could we give an award to? Of all those many people, what do we do? And the regiment's answer was, there was no one who is braver than anyone else. And so they awarded the gallantry award to the whole of the regiment. And we still wear it on our uniform today. And you might say that about Christ. When we talk about deaths, of all those millions that have been, some so gallant and some right, why should we focus in on the death of Christ above all those other deaths that there have been? And the clue, of course, is in that word, Christ. Christ meaning anointed, the king that God had appointed. And when you read more into that in the Bible, it's this staggering what it describes, that actually this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was actually not a man, but was God himself, the very Son of God. Elsewhere in the Bible, it describes him and says, this is in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And if you look at the context, it's saying that Christ himself made the world, but also upholds the world constantly by the word of his power. Is there any wonder that when he was in a storm on a ship, he just said, peace, be still. And the waves immediately stopped their raging. They obeyed his voice. Why? Because he made it and he upholds it by the word of his power. He was God's own son, equal to God. It's a hard thing to understand in many extents, but he was God himself on the earth. Christ on the cross was actually God himself dying on the cross. And this is why it's so astonishing. Why single out this one death? Because of the identity of the one who is dying. You might say, well, if he was a king, then which country was he king over? Which great victories in battle did he win? Was he like William the Conqueror or Richard the Lionheart, who were ferocious in their battles? No, he died aged 33 upon a cross. And yet the Bible says this was God himself, the King of Kings. Is there any wonder in the passage that was read, it says that this is foolishness to the Greeks? How can a great king, as it were, in his lifetime, appear to achieve so little and humble himself to such a death as Christ humbled himself to? But nonetheless, that is what Scripture says. This was God himself dying there. And the second reason why this death is of such significance was, of course, the reason why he died. Not only his identity, but the reason why he died. Very rightly, there's a lovely poem, isn't there, which we recite on Remembrance Sundays, which is, when you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow we gave our today. It's a very moving words, aren't they, to think of all those people who did give up their tomorrow so that we could have our today. And it's one of the reasons why we have Remembrance Sunday. And this is the reason also why Paul draws us to this death of Christ. Just earlier in the chapter, just before we began our reading, there's been a bit of division in the church. Some are saying, well, I follow the Apostle Paul who wrote the Corinthians. Others say, I follow the Apostle Apollos. And another says, well, I follow Christ. And an argument over a ridiculous issue of which there was no real issue. But Paul answers it by saying, was Paul crucified for you? And the implication he's making there, the point he's making, was that Christ was crucified for you. Christ died for us. And the reason why we remember Christ's death is the reason that Christ was dying. It wasn't an act, a demonstration that we might love one another, though of course it leads us to do that. But it was for a purpose. It was dying for us. The other name that you might have heard of Christ is Jesus Christ. Jesus meaning Saviour. And the reason why he was called Saviour, the book of Matthew outlines, is because he will save his people from their sins. Not from Roman domination, as was taking place 2,000 years ago. But no, he will save his people from their sins. And this is the real reason why we come to the cross of Christ as being the glory and the very center of the Christian nature. And that is because of our sin. Something within the nature of man that says, I will do what I want and not what God wants. I will have no other God before me. Not before God, but I will be king of my life and I will do what I want. That is within the heart, the natural heart of mankind. Now, it might be that that then manifests itself in different ways. We may not all be, therefore, bank robbers or murderers, whatever else it might be. But there's something within us which would take the place which God rightly deserves. And God leads that to a punishment, that the soul that sins shall die, he outrightly states. And so there's a seriousness to sin that was absolutely imperative that Christ should act. When we consider the wars of the world that there have been over time, you can rightly say that nations don't go to war unless it is absolutely an imperative and there's no other way to avoid it. And it's exactly the same with Christ on the cross. There was an imperative that our sin should be dealt with. And Christ was dying for our sin. You think of just even 10 million people who died in the First World War and say, well, Christ died for all of their sin. But then multiply that to all that have ever lived in the world and say, Christ was dying for all their sin. What death could ever compare to that? And the third reason why Christ crucified and the silence of the cross is so wonderful is, of course, that it was victorious. Wouldn't it be grievous if this morning we were having Remembrance Sunday and we were remembering not only the sacrifice, but then also that we lost and that we were defeated? It would be there would be a bitterness, wouldn't there, to our memory, that we might think, well, those lives were in vain that were lost if they died, but yet we lost the conflict. It would be just the same with Christ. If Christ's death was not victorious, then it would just be a great act of demonstration. But we remember with bitterness and sadness. But actually, Christ succeeded in paying for our sin. And maybe those words are not maybe as quick to our hearts as they could be. But to know that Christ paid and his death for our sin was sufficient. We know that he won the victory. Well, we might say, how do we know that he won the victory? The very simple answer the Bible gives is by his resurrection. He laid down his life willingly upon the cross. But then on the third day, he rose from the dead and ascended to heaven in the same way that he humbled himself so much to become a man. After his death, he was equally exalted to be by the very right hand of God. And of course, one of the simple ways we can show that is that there is no body of Christ today. We don't go to Jerusalem to the tomb of Christ to see his body, because he bodily rose from the grave and he was victorious. In 1918, when victory was announced and ceasefire, the noise of shells were replaced by church bells throughout Britain. And I love that thought, as you would, rather than hearing that noise of battle, there would have been the joyous noise of church bells chiming across the country, maybe one spreading to another as the word of victory and of peace spread around the country. Joyful bells going out. And wasn't it exactly the same when Christ rose from the dead? The great victory had been won over sin. Sin had been paid for. But may I finish with this? That is, unlike the deaths of the First World War, from which we benefit no matter what we do. England exists, Britain exists, Europe exists due to what happened then. There is a personal response that is needed to what Christ did. It says of him in verse 24, but those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then back in verse 21, he says, who is preached to save those who believe. And that's a very important phrase that's in there, in that it's not enough to say, well, Christ has died, great, I will now live my life as I wish, and then I'll go to heaven because Christ has died for my sins. No, there's a response that is needed that is not a national response, but an individual one. What will I do concerning Christ? Will I believe the records to be true, that Christ was indeed the anointed of God, his king? Will I indeed believe what the Bible says about myself, that actually my sin is serious, that without it, there is a judgment of God, which the Bible describes as hell, which will come upon me, that God is right in doing that. I believe that to be true. And therefore, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, that he saved me from something very bad, that I might live and go to heaven. Will I believe that is a response that is needed of me? Well, every year we rightly remember those who have gone before, who lay down their lives for us, leading to that silence of the guns falling silent. The cross also leads to a silence. That is, that our warfare with God can be finished. Christ has made peace with God, that we may also be at peace with him. And how may we know that? Why is Christ's death so significant? Because of who Christ was, the very Son of God, upholding all things by the word of his power. The reason that he died for our sins, and that his death was victorious. That is why Christ's death is the very center of Christianity and should be the very center of our lives. Amen.